always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Far-right parties have made major gains across Europe in the European elections. Now, these are elections to the European Parliament. That's the 720-seat chamber that makes policy for 27 countries. And the two countries that have seen the biggest impact from the far-right, France and Germany, these are key US allies. These populist groups are on the rise across Europe. They are anti-immigration and they have a narrow focus on national interest. Now, in the European Parliament at the moment, the centrist parties do hold the balance of power still, but the United States is likely going to have to deal with a much more divided Europe, especially on big crises like climate change and the war in Ukraine.
And I'm sure Joe Biden is just the commander-in-chief that can handle all of it. Welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. 1019-941 News Talk STL. It is June the 10th, 2024, 5:06 in the p.m. Thanks for joining us for the second hour of the show. Chris, just when the world couldn't possibly get more complicated enough, it did. And I doubt Joe Biden even knows there were elections in Europe last weekend.
I doubt he knew that, too. And what I'm worried about is the media here on the in Europe and the United States are going to paint these right-wing victories as coinciding with the rise in anti-Semitism, and of course that's associated with the right, according to them. And I fear that's where they're going to go next with this. You heard that a little bit in that clip where they're saying the people won were anti-immigration and wanted to basically focus on their countries, not everyone else around the world. It sounds similar here in the United States. A lot of that movement is strong here. So I think we're going to see racism associated with these EU victories soon. Not them. The media is going to paint as racist.
You're right. You know why they have to do that? Because every accusation by the left is a confession.
Yeah.
It's the left in today's world that is showing all of these virulent signs of anti-Semitism, right? They're the ones who are protesting on the college campuses. They're the ones who are angry that Israel won't just like wave the white flag, you know, and I guess do what? Be subject to terrorist attacks again? So the left has to cover for their own anti-Semitism by saying, oh, no, you guys are really the anti-Semitic ones.
Yeah.
It's all fake and phony.
Yeah, and they couch it under, we are concerned about the Palestinians. They are oppressed. We're not racist. The Jews are the ones that are racist and the oppressors. I mean, that's how they assuage their consciences.
Yep, and today's left is all about power, right? It's all about power. So they like the power players on the planet. They don't like the fact that Israel is the only true democracy in the Middle East. They more favor the tyrannical authoritarian regimes. It's why they want to be such appeasers to the mullahs of Iran. It's really horrific. We've got a jam-packed hour for you. And to follow up on the first hour, if you missed that first hour, you can always catch the podcast of our program. Every single show here at News Talk STL, all 6 local shows during the week and all the weekend shows are properly podcasted by our executive producers. They're available wherever you can find podcasts. The Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show will be available for podcasts as soon as the show concludes. Joey V makes sure that it is so, don't you?
Hour one is already up.
Look at him.
We've already had 2 comments about just how great Jim Talon is, and people look forward to his segment every Monday at 4:25.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Jeff, for chiming in there. Was that Jeff Allen?
No, it was people on Facebook and Rumble.
But that was Jeff Allen.
And remember, I chat with people during all of this. You know, if Tim and Chris are talking, it's usually me chatting back. I'll keep you entertained. I'll tell you a joke. You just come and hang out with me.
Absolutely. We've got a...
The stats have been down lately.
We've got a ton of folks chatting away on a Facebook stream right now. I want to say hello to Amy and to Linda and to everyone else who's jumping on the Facebook stream. Of course, we see you on Twitter X as well. And we are also on Rumble and YouTube and Instagram. You can follow along at home. You can chat with each other. You can chat with us. Thanks for taking us with you. Remember, your telephone is your radio. Download the News Talk STL app, and you can listen to us. You can stream us anywhere around the planet. I would say half or more of our listeners every day are listening to us on something other than a radio.
Yeah, and a lot of our listeners listen to the show after it's over, later. I notice the numbers at the end of the show, the viewers, and you can come back a few hours later or the next day, and in a lot of cases it has doubled or, you know,
quadrupled,
25% quarter growth in since the last numbers. Joey's laughing at me. Yes, I'm not a mathematician, Joey. You know
we talk
that.
For a living, Joey.
I just want to say hi to Scooter on Twitter. He actually knows that Jim Talon is on other radio stations and TV stations besides ours, and he just loves the rapport that Jim Talon has with you guys specifically. There's just something about us hanging out with, what are you, a former staffer?
I worked for him.
He's always happy to come and hang out with Chris, especially.
We appreciate it. We have a stable of fantastic guests that we have throughout the week. And then we also have slots where we put in new and interesting guests that you may have never heard of before, and we're given a chance here. And so you never know what you're quite going to get, but we do have those trusted go-tos. We know you appreciate hearing from Jim Talon every week, from Steve Bucci, from Zach Smith, from either Dr. Aaron Hedlund or Patrick Tuohy. We have so many awesome guests. David Stokes throughout the week. Susie Moore's coming up at 5:25 this afternoon. This is your one-stop shop. We are number one for live and local conservative talk. And to prove that point, we will be live and local tomorrow morning at Sugar Creek Golf Course. Mike Ferguson, in the morning show. Mike's going to be taking the show on the road. He and Gabe will be at Sugar Creek starting at, dark early. You can be there at 5:30. Joey will be there at 4 a.m. probably. Or maybe you just roll in at like 5:29.
Yeah, but I will be the guy in the hammock in the background. Just snoozing, sawing logs.
That's an hour drive from here. You know that.
I do know that. I'm getting up at 3 for beautiful Mike Ferguson.
Chris will be there in the morning. I was swinging by Sugar Creek Golf Course, one of our fantastic new advertisers. We appreciate them wanting to have us at the golf course. They've got a VIP room. It's a beautiful clubhouse. Come out and join us. Food, drink, coffee. Join us tomorrow morning, 5:30 to 9 a.m. at Sugar Creek Golf Course.
You know, Tim, we talked last week about the hopscopping that the First Lady did last week, going back and forth, 4 trips from Delaware to France. You know, we were wondering about the carbon footprint on that. We don't know what that is yet, but the National Taxpayers Union has done some FOIA requests and know how much those trips cost. According to the National Taxpayer Union Foundation, they're estimating that the trips that the First Lady took to France back and forth was $345,000. Now, what's going to happen here, Tim, the Democratic Party is going to repay the government for what it would cost her to fly commercially for those flights, which comes up to a first class one-way trip from Philadelphia to Paris is $6,655. So just to look this up, about $30,000 is what she's going to pay back. The campaign is going to come back, pay back, even though these flights cost $345,000.
Why are we on the hook? It seems like everything the Dems do, they get it upside down.
Yeah,
like,
we're on the hook for that.
Shouldn't she be paying for what the government had to pay versus the commercial
According to the law, you only have to reimburse what it would cost commercially.
Wow. Even though it doesn't actually cost that. It costs
nowhere near
$300,000 times.
$345,000 is what they are estimating, which means it's probably higher than that. Hopefully one of these green groups, I know they're working on it now, are going to tell us what the carbon footprint was for her trips. Should I hold my breath waiting for that report?
Probably. You know, Chris, it's tough being a Biden. You know, it really is. You know, wined and dined and hopscotching around the planet.
Exactly.
You know, one of the things that Europe taught us, especially some of the Nordic countries, is that we did not have to suffer through all the COVID craziness. Have you noticed, folks, that every week, COVID's been over for a while, and we're not talking about COVID because we want anybody to be scared or worried or concerned or anything like that. We're talking about it because everything we were forced to do for several years has turned out to be either largely made up out of whole cloth or did nothing to prevent anyone from getting sick or dying. There's another extremely important report that came out in National Review over the weekend. That's the subject of today's Speaker's Stump Speech.
Listen to me, listen. listen to me.
I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius.
It's time for the Speaker's Stump Speech, sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service at hansonstree.com.
Title of the Stump Speech today, COVID Crazy was catastrophic in so many ways, not because of the actual direct results of a disease that, you know, we may never actually know how many people actually for real, truly died of direct COVID. And yes, I'm not saying no one did. Of course they did. It was a horrible outbreak. The Chinese should bear full responsibility for it, but Dr. Fauci can't even figure out, you know, from whence it came, even though he's the science. What I'm saying is, so much of what we're if they lied about the little things or the medium things or even some of the big things, what else did they lie about through this? For example, we found out last week, courtesy of Dr. Fauci's testimony under oath before Congress, that the 6-foot social distancing rule was completely, totally, and utterly fabricated. Completely. Did you miss that? It was. He said that. Now, can you imagine if a Republican official had done something and then gone before Congress and said, yeah, I just made that up? Folks, that would be top of the page, headline, Chiron running news, 60 Minutes and CNN and MSNBC, they'd be doing exposés the entire weekend, throughout the week, for the next 3 years. But with Fauci, he says all these things almost in passing, and then we're just all supposed to forget about it. Great weekend reporting from the National Review. America's COVID response, and I think it's great that they focused on America, because not every country did what we did. Were some countries worse? Yes. Were many countries better? Absolutely. America's COVID response looks worse and worse with every passing years. Every 6 months or so, and this is reflective of what I just said, every 6 months or so, we seem to pass through another phase of revelations that underscore the extent to which officials misled the public about the evidence concerning COVID-19's origins, which 4 years later, you know, we're the nation that has put people in orbit on the moon, sent things to Mars. We've got the lead public health official, Tony Fauci, saying, I'm the science, and they still don't know where the origins are. So the origins and the protocols established to mitigate the virus's spread. And do you wonder if this is all orchestrated? Do you wonder if they're all just dripping out of these mea culpa? They're not doing them. Have you noticed they're not doing them all at once? Like the article says, it seems like every 6 months or so we get this little onslaught of stories saying, yeah, we're not really sure about the masks. They probably didn't work. Yeah, the 6-foot social distancing rule. Yeah, we just kind of made that up. You know, schools, the New York Times had an expose about a year ago, basically saying schools should not have been shut down and Randy Weingarten, you know, screwed it all up. So I'm not making these things up. You can go look at liberal news sources and see they're kind of issuing these quiet little mea culpas in order to say that, well, yeah, we reported it properly, and then they just move on, and there is no expose on it. While the political world has been fixated on Trump's legal battles, some of the most damning pandemic policy revelations yet have emerged. And that's why I'm talking about this, because they seem to be using the big news of the day, the Trump lawfare, Hunter Biden's cocaine, crack, and munitions charges to kind of cover for all this. But it is coming out. These on the origins, not just of COVID, but of guidance that have been in society, education, livelihoods, families, our actual relationships with each other, whether we were let out of our home or not. The prior round of honest COVID reflection yielded a mea culpa of sorts from former NIH head Francis Collins, who last year acknowledged public health officials took a, quote, narrow view in decision-making, attaching infinite value to stopping the disease and saving a life, zero value to whether this actually totally disrupts people's lives, ruins the economy, has kept many kids out of school in a way they never quite recover from. That mindset was unfortunate and a mistake, their words, not mine. At the time, Rich Lowry of National Review called it a welcome, if belated, confession. The information emerging since might feel cathartic to those who face scorn and ridicule. Yeah, people on this station, right? People who had their YouTube channels throttled and shut down because we dared to question COVID protocols. Or the whole wet market narrative. But really, it's just utterly maddening. One of my favorite writers from National Review, Jim Garrity, summed it all up by saying this: there was no science behind the 6 feet rule for social distancing. There was no science justifying the masking of children. And the notion of the pandemic stemming from a lab leak wasn't implausible or a conspiracy theory. Corresponding testimony coming from transcripts of closed-door House committee sessions from earlier this year proves that point. James Lynch reported last month that Collins, the NIH director, said he didn't recall seeing evidence supporting the 6 foot distance guideline. He believes it's not clear whether COVID-19 leaked from a lab in China or from animals somewhere, somehow. James reported last week that Anthony Fauci, too, testified the social distancing guidelines. Folks, get this. Remember, this is something we were mandated and forced to do. They put little circles in the, on the floors of every big box store and every business all across the land. His quote was, they sort of just appeared. Sort of just appeared. And he didn't specifically recall seeing studies or data supporting masking for children. Fauci acknowledged there was no cost-benefit analysis done to explore unintended consequences. The New York Times published an op-ed recently explaining, separately, quote, why the pandemic probably started in a lab in 5 key points. So we were accused of being conspiracy theorists, but now the New York Times is admitting that we very possibly, very probably, were 100% spot on. Why is this all so important? Why do I keep beating the dead COVID horse? And we're all glad that COVID appears very much to be dead and buried. Well, because this very well may happen again. In our lifetime, how many outbreaks do you remember? We've had avian flu outbreaks. We've had swine flu. We've had Ebola. Very, very dangerous. Luckily, it always dies out very quickly. We've had various versions of COVID. Heck, this one was called COVID-19. I presume there was 18 predecessors at some point in time. So we likely will have another one. But shouldn't we treat the next pandemic like we treated all the previous pandemics, other than this one that was put into place, it apparently believes, in plandemic fashion for a political purpose and political opportunity, the 2020 election? Next time, maybe we need to look and have our eyes more wide open at countries like Sweden, who, yes, got it much more right as we continue to get it much more wrong. Folks, keep watching for these mea culpas. They're going to continue coming out. Next bet, I bet you'll start seeing something about the efficacy of the vaccines, something that we all know but will now be considered truth versus a conspiracy theory fiction. And that's the stump speech for today.
You remember that famous picture of Dr. Fauci along with his wife and another colleague at a Washington Nationals baseball game? They were sitting in the nosebleed seats, and they didn't have masks on, and they were joking and laughing and having a good time, and, you know, Fauci was pilloried over that. Now when you look back and think on that, you're like, you know what, he knew the 6 foot rule was all BS, and he kind of let his guard down, didn't think anyone would be that could take pictures of it or something, and just proved what he's said lately, that he made it all up. There was no science behind 6 feet rule, and that famous picture proves it.
You're right, Chris. That guy, Fauci, he knew everything that he was saying that was either true or not true. And the problem with all of this, Chris, is next time when something bad does happen, we want our government to be honest with us. If they don't know, they need to tell us they don't know. If it's not as serious as they think, they need to tell us that. If it is horribly god-awful serious, they need to, because the problem is, now we don't know what to believe.
Fauci needs to be charged with funding the Wuhan lab. Fauci needs to be charged with avoiding FOIA laws by doing government business along with his colleagues on his own personal email. I mean, I could go down the list of all the things that aren't just ethical lapses. These are things that are criminal in a lot of cases. And he is directly responsible in my mind for the deaths of millions of people because he helped fund this lab and tried to cover it up.
Such a great point. Donald Trump gets indicted every time he passes gas. Tony Fauci has had zero accountability applied to him.
And I'm not a scientist. I'm not in that field at all, Tim. And I'm not a national security expert as well. But I can't think of any good reason to help China fund a virus that can kill us all. I don't, you can't give me any type of scientific reasoning, any type of military, government to government, reason. Why are we helping China create a virus that can wipe everybody off the planet?
You hit on one of the seminal questions. Chris, if there was a good reason for that, why haven't they explained it to us? Because like you, I can't come up with a single possible theory as to why that would be a good idea.
Yeah, it's like during the Cold War. Hey, Brezhnev, you want to work on nerve agent gas with us, you know, just to see how it affects rats?
Would you like to test out this new nuclear ballistic missile we just developed?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's insane, isn't it? Yeah. The cooperation between us and China on developing a virus that could obliterate the globe. It's astounding.
Makes no sense. And I know when we've had, Dr. Tobler on, the scientific aspect of it is they want to study these viruses so that if they do occur naturally, out in nature, they know how to fight those viruses because they have developed them first. But still, it's China.
Exactly. The end. Chris, I just pulled up redstate.com to see what might be on Susie Moore's mind, and there is a headline that is extremely interesting and disturbing indeed. Apparently, some bombshell video has come out of Nancy Pelosi saying something about January the 6th that could destroy the Democratic narrative. We'll ask Susie Moore about that and a ton of other stuff at redstate.com when she joins us next on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show, 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Moments ago, we can tell you that the jury has now gone into the deliberation room. They are discussing the fate of Hunter Biden in this case where he was charged with lying about his drug use in order to buy a gun. The combined charges could tally as much as 25 years in prison. The defense argues that there's no evidence he was using drugs at the time of filling out the form.
And welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. Our next guest thinks there's something rotten in Denmark and Delaware. Let's bring her in and see what she has to say about it.
Oh, Susie Q, baby, I love you. Susie Q.
I'm the boss.
As she does every Monday afternoon, Susie Moore joining us once again, Deputy Managing Editor at RedState.com, host of the More to the Point commentary, frequent contributor, host, and more here at News Talk STL. She's at Smoozie Q on Twitter X. Susie, good afternoon to you. Welcome back to the program.
Well, hello there.
Susie, let's start with something we know you've been monitoring very closely. In fact, you just wrote about it. You got a new article up at RedState.com. The lawyers clean up all the details since daddy had to lie. Hunter Biden's Delaware trial day 6. Susie, do tell, what's going on and what brought you to that headline today?
Well, I've been covering the Hunter trial all along, and to kind of have a little bit of fun with it instead of just having headlines and say, you know, day 5, day 3, decided I'm often inspired by, you know, songs. So I've just been using lyrics from songs that seem to be somewhat fitting in one way or another and interspersing those through my headlines. So today he got the end of the innocence, even though I don't think this will be the end of the innocence for him. So this case has moved along very quickly, very efficiently, and it has now been submitted to the jury. They got about an hour of deliberation in, and then they took a break for the day, so they're going to come back tomorrow morning and continue their deliberations.
Susie, you got an article you wrote today on Henry Cuellar, the Texas representative who's been indicted on bribery, which I found very, very interesting. According to your title of your article, his trial has been postponed until after the November election. But I can remember a certain guy named Donald Trump who they were rushing and rushing to get these trials in before the election. I think some of these trials that have been postponed, they were even looking at June and July court dates for former President Trump. There just seems to be a little irony there that in this case, we can't have it, we'll do it after the election. Donald Trump's cases, they have to be before the election. And is it just me?
It's not just you, and that's a fair point to raise, but I do have to throw in two caveats. Number one, the charges against Cuellar and the case against him was literally just filed April 30th. So for them to have gone to trial July 8th would have been a very quick turnaround, and it is not at all unusual for cases, whether they're in federal or state court, to be continued, at least from their original trial date. And mm-hmm. I asked Tim on this too, but I can count on one hand and have fingers left over the number of cases that I tried that actually went on the first initial setting.
Can you make that argument for all these Trump trials that they're trying to rush through?
Well, I'm going to get to that.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm shutting up. I'm shutting up.
The other thing that's unclear is because this was an oral motion to continue the case. It was at a conference, and there's no indication of what the basis was for asking for it, and both the defense and the government asked for it. So was this a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, let's wait till after the election? It could very well be, and I understand people questioning that, but I don't have anything to say that definitively. And again, because of the case being filed so recently, the fact that it was continued from July 8th in and of itself doesn't say, oh my gosh, they're bending over backwards for this guy. So it's hard to say. In Trump's case, you know, the Alvin Bragg case had been on file for a year before it went to trial. He did ask for a continuance of that case and did not get that relief. But so I understand why you're asking the question. But I just can't definitively say that's what's going on here.
Okay. Susie, and another sign of the times being that perhaps everything we've been told over the last few years has been an absolute political psyop or lie. Susie, Red State is reporting this afternoon that they have in their possession, and they have published this, a bombshell video of Nancy Pelosi on January the 6th itself admitting responsibility for the failure of the security situation, which would implode the entire narrative of the Democrats and the deep state swamp. Pelosi was in an SUV speeding out of the Capitol with Terry McCullough. He's the old Clinton bag man. McCullough. And Pelosi, some of the quotes on this video that people can go to redstate.com and watch are, quote, "We did not have any accountability for what was going on there. We should have." She also says, "You're going to ask me in the middle of the thing when they've already breached the inaugural stuff, should we call the Capitol Police? I mean, the National Guard. Why weren't the National Guard there to begin with?" McCullough said, "Well, you know, they thought they had enough resources." She shot back and said, "No, that's not a question of how they had. They don't know. They clearly didn't know. And I take responsibility for not having them just prepare for more." I mean, Susie, have we been living in some kind of weird, bizarre psyop over the last few years between all the COVID, the accountability that has come out on that and the admissions on that, all this Trump lawfare? Now we're finding out that Pelosi may have thought she had some responsibility for January 6th after them telling us publicly she didn't. What's going on here?
Yeah, well, I think the short answer to your question is yes. I feel like we've been in a psyop since they killed Harambe. But, I think we could probably like equate this to what you and I would refer to as, you know, the excited utterance type situation. In the heat of the moment, in the thick of things, even though she was on film, Nancy Pelosi was doing what her instinct was, which was to take responsibility. She knew that in her role as Speaker of the House, she had some degree of control over the Capitol Police, at least, and could or maybe should have asked for some backup from the National Guard. She would have certainly been able to make those requests. And I think she was questioning, I think McCullough was her chief of staff or somebody who was a staffer. Anyway, I think she was questioning, why weren't we better prepared? I'm taking responsibility, which is the natural human thing to do if you are a leader and somebody who takes their role, you know, seriously. You know, of course, then as things went on and it became something to use as a cudgel against Donald Trump, that story changed. But it is fascinating that we're just now seeing this footage.
Speaking with Susie Moore, deputy managing editor at redstate.com and host of the More to the Point commentary. Reports are today, Susie, that Donald Trump and his lawyer Todd Blanche met with a female New York City probation officer down at Mar-a-Lago. I know that you did not practice criminal law, but as best as you can tell us, what happened today?
So this was what, you know, basically a standard conference, and it's a chance for the court officer to kind of talk to the defendant and sort of gauge things and put that all together in their recommendation to the judge as far as sentencing goes. This was held via Zoom since he's down at Mar-a-Lago. Mm-hmm. The officer would have been in New York. I haven't had a chance yet to read how the rundown on that. It certainly wasn't like televised
sure.
that sort of thing, but there have been some reports about it since, and I saw a headline, but I haven't actually had a chance to read up on it and see what, if anything, we know more about that. So, it's kind of just a standard thing, and I highly doubt there was anything, bombshelly coming out of it.
Susie, back to the Hunter Biden situation, I've been watching it kind of from afar and listening to some reports. You've been following a lot closer than me. Mm-hmm. You know, from what I've read, it seems that the evidence is pretty clear that there should be a conviction here, but for the aspect of jury nullification, the jury mm-hmm. just likes Biden, the Bidens better, of course, than Trump. Susie, the shoe's on the other foot here, but it's like the venue in these cases seems to be dictating what's the likely result. The venue of New York City dictating the Trump result, the venue in Delaware possibly dictating the Biden result. What do you think, Susie? Was the evidence so overwhelming that the jury would have to find a conviction on one of the charges? Or do you think they could just honestly just ignore the whole thing and nullify what's obviously before their faces?
Well, that's an interesting question about maybe a split verdict. In other words, finding him guilty of one of the charges, but not all three. Mm-hmm. I think the problem here is not the problem. I think the hurdle here is that since they do have to be unanimous, you've got to find all 12 jurors willing to convict a Biden in Delaware. And I think the chances of that are really slim. Now, the evidence was overwhelming. I mean, the defense did what they could to try and throw some mud up against the wall, to muddy the waters, I guess. But it's pretty overwhelming. So the jury's going to either be faced with, look, we're just going to not, as a matter of policy, we're not going to convict the Biden. We're not going to convict the president's son mm-hmm. here in Biden country. Or it's possible that they may hang. I could see there being a couple saying, you know what? I don't care who they are. This is wrong. He violated the law. We're going to, I'm going to find him guilty. So a hung jury isn't out of the question here. I think the one thing to my way of thinking is that it is out of the question is a guilty verdict. I just don't see that happening. Mm. But, they could surprise me. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would be, in a way, that would actually be like cover for Biden.
Yes.
If the jury actually finds Hunter guilty, then they can say, there's no two chairs, look.
Mm. So, Susie, we're starting to get our first polls post the Donald Trump conviction. There's been a YouGov poll finds that Trump is leading the race 50-49, which is tied, which shows Biden winning 50-49 for those who live in the battleground states. The interesting part of this poll that only 20% named the conviction as affecting their views. Your overall thoughts?
Well, and I think that number, that 20% number is going to go down because it's the beginning of June. So we are 5 months out from the election. There's going to be a lot that's going to happen between now and then. There's going to be a lot more water under the bridge. So the people, I think when we start getting closer and people start having to be forced to choose, I don't think the conviction back in the end of May is going to be as front and center for them in terms of making that final decision for themselves. And there's going to be some people that will make a difference for. But I feel like the polling that specifically gets to that issue, mm-hmm. it kind of ends up being a wash because there are some people who say, yeah, I mean, I just can't vote for a guy who's been convicted. But there's others who are like, heck, that makes me want to vote for the guy because I feel like they did him wrong. So, yeah, I just think it's going to be interesting to watch over the next month or two as we get further and further away from the verdict, whether we see much of a shift. Because it certainly didn't shift things the way I think that the Biden camp would have hoped it would.
Hmm. Excellent indeed. Well, we'll leave it there for now. Folks, check out Susie Moore at redstate.com and at SmoozyQ on Twitter X. All kinds of great late-breaking news, analysis, more-to-the-point commentaries, and more to boot. Susie, thanks so much for everything, as always.
Thanks,
guys. Have a great evening.
Mm-hmm. You too as well. Woo! Well, just like that, we're at 5:43, but Chris, we're not done yet. We're going to be joined in our next segment by one of our one of our most long-standing and supporting advertisers and fans of the show, Everett Jones of Jones Air and Water, is going to be touching base with us, Chris, as we flip the calendar pages of June last week, and he's going to tell us what we need to do for our air, our water, and, you know, how's the small business economy doing here in the St. Louis
area? I wasn't home today, but Everett stopped by the homestead today to take a look at our pool and see if
nice.
Do some work for us.
Oh, fantastic. We'll have to ask what the heck he found there. Indeed. Maybe some alligators.
Or other things. Who knows?
All of that when we come back on the Tim Jones and Chris Sarb Show here at 101.9 94.1. This is News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
So this is the first time I've said this, and for those hotel workers and people that get tips, you're going to be very happy. Because when I get to office, we are going to not charge taxes on tips, people making tips. We're not going to do it, and we're going to do that right away, first thing in office, because it's been a point of contention for years and years and years, and you do a great job of service. You take care of people. First time anyone's brought it up. I think it's never been brought up before.
5:48 on the Tim Jones and Chris Sarb Show. And as we know by Donald Trump's presidency, that when you cut taxes and you cut regulations on businesses and people, the economy thrives. When you do the exact opposite, you have the Joe Biden economy. Tim, that's why I love talking to our next friend, Everett Jones from Jones Air and Water. Everett, how is the economy doing, my friend?
It sucks.
Straight talk.
You know, it's pretty pitiful out there. When you go out, you know, you used to be able to take a $20 bill and go out and get your lunch and maybe a beer or a tea or a soda, and you get some change back. Now you go out and you take a $100 bill and you might get a 20 back.
Exactly.
It's a terrible thing out there. I'm not happy with Joe at all.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are. Everett, you're a happy warrior, and you just keep trucking along, doing the best you can, you and your whole team there at Jones Air and Water. And this is still swimming pool season. I understand you were checking out somebody's swimming pool today that we know very well. What do people need to be doing this time of year, Everett? The pools are open, but you can't. It's like nobody's house is a maintenance-free house, right? Nobody's pool is a maintenance-free pool, right?
There's no such thing. There's no such thing as maintenance-free. It's everybody has to do work on something at one time or another. You know, the least amount of work there is when you have a pool is you have to go out and take the test to make sure you maintain the quality of the water inside the pool. You have to vacuum it. You know, there is physical work that has to be done to a pool system. Sometimes in Chris's case, the lines under the ground will break, and you have to dig them up and replace them. That's not a simple job to do, and that job is for a pool company, Chris.
Yeah, I think you told my wife, I wasn't at home, I'm paraphrasing here, you said shoot it and put it out of its misery. I think that was your professional recommendation.
Well, you know, there's a lot of work to be done there to make that thing a nice looking. I can make the water great.
We just got to keep it in the pool, Everett. That's the problem. We got to keep that nice, pretty water in the pool. And that's the issue that we're having.
Yeah. I know I can make the water so that it's bottled water that you swim in. But if you're pumping it out on the ground, it's not going to do much good.
Exactly.
Everett,
the grass is going to like it.
Everett, tell us about the Echo Smart system that I know is your favorite to make sure that people get installed in their pool. And when I tell people about this, when I'm doing the live reads for them and I'm talking about how, you know, it's chlorine free and it's salt free and it's acidity free, I think people are thinking, oh, that's crazy talk. You can't do that. But there is technology for that, right, Everett? And that's what you would recommend. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that's space age technology. EcoSmart's been around since 1991, putting these things in all over the world for all kinds of applications, not just swimming pools. You know, we have cooling towers that need water that use chemicals, and we can do we can do hotels with, you know, a cooling tower in some cases has a well underneath of it that's the size of an Olympic swimming pool.
Wow.
And that water has to be treated on an ongoing basis so that you don't get Legionella or anything in that water that seems the air is going across and coming out into the atmosphere where the people are breathing. So it is a critical thing to have good water, you know, in different places like that, for instance. You know, so pools, spas, cooling towers, water walls. I've got a school I'm working with out in Lincoln County that's growing fish and growing horticulture, and that's going to be an application that we can help them with. If you're in the vegetable business and you're growing vegetables, you can't put any better water on your vegetables and plants than this EcoSmart water. It's oxygen and copper combined going out to do multiple things. The oxygen is oxidizing the water so things settle out of it, and it's giving life to the things that are growing in it. It's also taking the copper, and the copper acts as a sanitizer to prevent bacterial growth and algae and those kind of things in the water while it's being circulated. So as I say, you know, we not only do this for pools, but those applications. And if you have if you want your water in your home to be salt free, chemical free, then we can put an EcoSmart system on your home as well, and it will give you sanitary water, odor free water, no iron, no hard water problems. So it's a very universal piece of equipment that I enjoy going around looking for applications and applying it to.
Everett, we've been talking a lot about water here, but you also specialize on air filter products as well. Little black cat we've had contracted bronchitis, and I think it's from the air and, you know, the dust and everything. Is that a possibility of the cat getting bronchitis from bad air?
I wouldn't put it past anything today. Yeah, you know, if a cat can breathe in mold and issues just like a human can. So, and it's a smaller respiratory system. So, if it's high enough in toxicity, it's affecting an animal. It may have sooner or later affect you. So, you might contemplate putting something in that'll kill that. On your furnace.
Let me ask you this. My second part of my question is this, too, because usually when we have you on, you've got specials that you want to promote. So talk about your air and water specials you've got going on, if any.
Well, I will offer this out there. If anyone wants to have high purity drinking water from reverse osmosis and high purity air to drink, we'll sell you one at full price and sell you one at half price.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
So I guess if you want to call it, that's a 25 or 30% savings.
Absolutely. Speaking to Everett Jones of Jones Air and Water, joneswater.com. That's joneswater.com. Everett, I need to get you back out to my Jones home because I think the next thing we need to do is something you recommended a year or so ago to me after we were putting in some other water stuff. This time of year, Everett, I'm noticing the humidity is coming back to the Midwest like a sledgehammer. And I noticed it this weekend. There was a lot of humidity in the air. And I noticed even when the air conditioner is on in the house, it still doesn't feel as crisp as it does, you know, when there's not as much humidity. Those whole home dehumidifiers, they really are amazing, aren't they? And they help your HVAC system work smarter and better, don't they? And we really need those in the heartland, don't we?
Absolutely. 9 months out of the year, we could use dehumidification in this neck of the woods that we live in Missouri. So it's a great investment in your home. It helps your, like you said, helps your air conditioner. It doesn't have to work as hard because you can raise your temperature up a couple of degrees and sometimes three degrees and be comfortable at a higher temperature if you get the humidity out of the air. I was in a home earlier or late last week, and it just felt like, you know, the air conditioner was running and running and running and running, but the humidity was just stuck in that house. The air conditioner wasn't pulling it out. There wasn't nothing it could do. And that's what a whole home dehumidifier does. It turns itself on, samples the air every 15 minutes. And if it feels that it's the temp or the humidity is not at the level at where you have it set, then it will operate and pull that humidity out of the air and throw dry air out into that atmosphere to get rid of the humidity.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic.
You've been speaking with Everett Jones, joneswater.com. You can also reach him at email everett@joneswater.com. Everett, thank you so much for all that you do. Thank you for coming out to the house. Appreciate it and making that call. Wish you all the best and look forward to next time having you in studio, my friend.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I had things I wasn't planning on doing today that I had to do. So
no worries.
As it turns out, I'm glad we can make this phone call and still get her done.
Life of an entrepreneur, we understand, my friend. Stay safe out there.
Yes, sir. You all, too. Have a good day.
Excellent. Thank you,
Everett. Tim, Larry Connors, USA, is up next. Larry's going to talk about how Israel is being criticized for rescuing their four hostages. He's going to have on retired Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood on the difficulty of the rescue, and a six-year-old is killed but earlier wrote a note that is a true blessing. That is on Larry Connors USA up next from 6 to 8. You've been listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL, number one for live and local conservative talk. Drive safe and have a great evening.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.